Welcome back to another episode of All Bases Covered,
the podcast helping you navigate the beauty industry and cut through the bullshit. Hello, Lisa.
Hello.
How are you going?
I'm great.
How exciting that we are in the midst of our 12 days of giveaways.
Will we also be in next week's episode?
Well, it goes for 12 days.
Yeah, and we're 2 days in, so yes.
So Monday will be the 6th, but we'll be halfway through.
No, but that's this Monday. What about the next Monday? So it'll be over the next time we record.
Yeah, the next time we record, we'll be technically done when it goes live by one day.
Living in the past and the future
is really difficult.
It's so hard, particularly for someone that struggles with like the space-time continuum.
It feels, not going to lie, great to be out of gift guide week.
Oh, I really enjoy it. Every year I love it, but every year I get close to burning out.
I know.
It's like being like, fuck you, buy your own presents. But then, oh my God, we've had such a lovely reception. Like so many people that have genuinely bought the things, which makes it worth it every single time.
Difficult Dad Alicia.
Mm-hmm.
Pelizzari, or whatever her name was, or was it Alicia? I can't remember her first name. Said she bought the Apple TV for her dad.
The best.
Round of applause to everyone.
We've had four of the fish hats bought.
So many people love the fish hats. The Papillon point.
Pillion. Yeah, so many people confused by the
fish
way.
Isn't it Pallion?
I'll literally never know, and I don't want to know. But anyway, they ship in under 24 hours, FYI. Incredible.
Incredible.
Yeah, just so many happy people, which is so great. And I'm sure that those people will be happy when they receive their gifts too.
We hope so. Please, if you do receive a gift from us and you actually listen to the podcast, fingers crossed, many people who receive a gift do listen to the podcast. That would be our preference. Please let us know. We like when people are happy and say thanks.
Yeah. It
really makes our little hearts light up. How's your week been though?
I have an eye twitch and I'm really tired, but I'm really thanking you that you forced me to have a hens because it forced me to take the day off because I know I'll be vomiting, which means I have a day off because I keep working.
In 2 weeks.
Yeah. But it's my first day off in ages. And when I say first day off in ages, I actually had the all of Friday off, but I hosted Thanksgiving and I'm not kidding. When I say I woke up at 6:30 with obviously like, can't get back to sleep now.
Mm.
And I did not stop until 7 p.m.
Mm.
Like I didn't sit down. I didn't eat.
It was a great night though.
It was really fun. But
I fully integrated myself into every facet of Lisa's life by attending her Friendsgiving. And everyone, oh, it was so cute. All of Lisa's friends were like, I feel like I know you because I listen to you, but you know nothing about me.
It's actually kind of uncomfortable when you have that conversation, isn't it? I always bump into people at work and they're like, hi, I know you. And I'm like, please remember her face and name. Please remember her face and name. Fuck. And then I'm like, okay, just be nice to everyone at work just in case.
You have to.
But also, you have to be nice to everyone at work anyway, but that's not, like, my natural face attitude. No. Not that I'd be like, fuck you, as I walk past in the hallway, but, like, I'm more of a, like...
You're forcibly putting on a smiley face rather than a frowny face.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I, like, have to push my brows up instead of letting them cower down.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's probably a nice thing to have.
Yeah, it is. The fear of someone being like, she's a bitch in real life really keeps me in check. My God. Again, the limoncello mojito is really... Oh, my God.
My blood will be limoncello by the end of December at this rate because your hands, more limoncello mojitos.
Yes, but the worst thing is I drink them like they're water.
Is it the worst thing or is it a ploy?
And you just keep topping me up to the point where I think I was only two limoncello mojitos deep. Little old Mortzy grabs the lid off a hot 220 degree cast iron and didn't feel it. And everyone's going, ow, Lisa, ow. And I'm like, what? And then I'm like, Jesus Christ. And I burnt the shit out of my hand, which was hilarious because the next day it was all bubbly and I had to do a wedding. And I was like, I'm just going to sanitize my hands. And it was like, the heat was still in there. And then I'd be like applying foundation, but with like
with the bubble.
Two fingers on one hand and five on the other, trying to like match the pressure just so that I wasn't putting my weird bubble on their face.
Oh my God, imagine if the bubble popped.
Oh, It's like, I always used to cut myself and then I would be like, do I leave an open wound to put on people's face? Ew, or do I do Band-Aid on? Both are bad.
No, you definitely...
the answer is you use a brush, but I just hate applying like a serum with a brush. So
do you remember
stupid.
When we were like slightly younger that spray on Band-Aid was a thing for a time
there?
It was quite literally just spraying Dettol in your wound. It was the most painful...
Mm.
That's why they obviously took it off the market. I remember trying it. And you die every time you used it. Anyway, my week's been great. I've got my
mask, but I do mean well. It's me, Manuel. I'm Manuel.
It's me, Manuel. I do mean well. It's me, Manuel.
Anyway, how was your week?
My week has been chaotic, but also sprinkled with greatness because my Net-a-Porter advent calendar has begun.
Mm-hmm.
Day one, gorgeous cocoa/burgundy eyeliner from Charlotte Tilbury.
Oh, yeah, the Walk of Shame pencil.
Really nice. Mm-hmm. A little bit red, like a little bit looks like bloody waterline.
Yeah. It's really close in tone to the Pillow Talk eyeliner, seriously, because I own that one. And when you showed me, I was like, oh, what's the difference? But we love a burgundy liner.
We do. And I also got a mini Susan Kaufman bubble bath so far.
And, like, perfect for you.
Couldn't have asked for two more perfect first gifts. Like, I already feel like I've made my money back on this calendar. Not
yeah,
that I have.
Haven't. Yeah. But,
and also, well, I started sneaking little things into it for Adrian.
Fun.
And then I opened day one to find that he has snuck sneaky things Aww. In for me.
That's lovely.
He's put in little love notes every day for 25 days.
I mean, that would make me want to end my life, but that's really sweet of him.
Genuinely thoughtful.
Wow. Yeah, I've got Brenton's advent calendar going. Day one was a slip pillow, slip
eye mask. Yes.
And he was like, oh, yeah. He actually surprisingly liked that one.
Good.
Day two, 3 sour geckos from Trolley. To try and get rid of the 48 sour geckos. And day three is a lucky dip. Lord knows what I'll pull out. There's a bunch of shit in there.
Very exciting. I like the lucky dip component.
Yeah, that was started by Brenton because he was like, I can't find things that fit in a box. And now it's like 90% of it is lucky dip because nothing fits in the box.
I was thinking also, I don't know if you guys have done this before or if it's chaos and not great, but I was thinking next year Adrian and I could do odds and evens, so I can do evens Ooh. And he can do odds, and then we can both share the joy of the advent calendar on every other day,
and the burden isn't quite so bad because I'm finding now, like, what the fuck do I get him for Christmas, even though none of those are anything I would gift him for Christmas typically.
Yeah,
like,
but you've spent a lot really so clever. far. Yeah, I was just like, this is great and we can keep doing it.
And also you just don't do day 25 because it's Christmas. So that it's even. So divided by 12.
Yeah, I like it.
Yeah. I'll propose it. Although it's finishing. No, I'll propose it after next year when I get one more.
Keep this Ew. One in the piggy bank for another 12 months. Okay. Yeah, good one.
Beauty news?
It's been so long since we've spoken about beauty news. Let's do it.
That's the tea on that.
Jeffree Star pets, are you kidding me? You right?
Are you kidding me?
Why? What is a Jeffree Star pet? Is it like an...
He's launched a...
Looks like sex toys. I know it's not, but it does look like sex toys.
He probably did that on purpose.
Yeah.
It is a range of pet toys and bowls and leads and collars and pet accessories designed by Jeffree Star, called Jeffree Star Pets. They look like Fuzzyard. All of the products, I think, have a distinct, if you know, dog toys, Australian brand Fuzzyard vibe about them.
They really do.
I'm starting to find Jeffree Star gives me the ick in every way possible. The fact that he launches a pet line and makes it about himself just says everything in it for me. Like, he could have done a Jeffree and, like, called it a side brand.
Jeffree and Friends or something.
Yeah, or given it the name of one of his dogs.
Yeah.
Like, there's so many things that he could have done. And all of them are just, you know, bedazzled with his garish pink branding
but
and
it's
the
because
star.
He is the brand.
I know, and I hate it. Stop extending your brand into everything, into a cattle ranch and dog toys. Like, are you scraping the bottom of the barrel at this point? How many more businesses do you need to own?
I think it's because he lost so much of his audience that instead of, like, sticking with one thing and hoping that multiple people will buy them, he has to hope that his remaining 10 fans buy everything from every range that he does.
I actually think that's it. It's like he's diversifying to the loyalists now and has to expand into every category to keep making his money.
Which is why he's still made the pet thing about him, because the people that do love him will buy it for that, not because that's it's like it. A cute pet thing.
But in my mind, I'm like, why not now use this as an opportunity to diversify and step slightly away from your own brand so that people can go, oh, Jeffree Star does make great products on their own without his name on them.
Slightly KVD the first time round when they went...
Very KVD the first time round when they re-came out with KVD.
Yeah, trying beauty. To, like, ditch her, but then they really came out and ditched her properly, and then it took off again.
Yes, that's it. Anyway, not here for it. Next up in beauty news, new Charlotte Tilbury Foundation.
Shit, yeah. This is a real sneak peek. There's nothing really proper out there on the internet, but there appeared to have been a sort of PR or launch party dinner situation in the UK. It is launching January 5 on her website. They keep claiming it's science and colour hybrid, so it's hyaluronic acid and brightening ingredients, but obviously medium coverage. She's doing the thing that Charlotte does where she likes to claim that everything has like Matrixyl 3000 and lots of skincare and patented, but it's like, it's just a nice foundation, and if you advertised it as that, we'd still be happy.
Yeah.
I don't know if this is replacing any other foundation or if this is just going to be her third in the lineup. I know there was serious stock issues of Wonder Glow for a very long time, but they've launched it at Mecca. So surely they're not discontinuing it. But my sister couldn't get her hands on it for like a year and she loves it. So I thought that there was some sort of issue. Perhaps it was just like Italy COVID issues. Who knows? It is a tube with a pump. Think It Cosmetics CC cream vibes.
Yeah. Yep.
And that's all we know about it, but I am a little bit excited by this. I'm hoping, I was going to say I'm hoping this is my Charlotte Tilbury Foundation, but I actually did quite like Wonder Glow, so.
They're also launching it in 30 shades.
Oh, yeah.
Which is good to know. Not 40, 30, which is all right.
It's all right if the spread's pretty even, and also, I know it's this medium, so it might not be that sheer, but it does, the packaging of it makes it look like it's more of a tinted moisturisery product, which never launched with this many shades.
Yes, it's a valid point.
It's funny with Charlotte, because she, and I think we've spoken about this before, in that some categories she does really well, and like great inclusivity, like her lip pencils, for example, she really brings out everything in a number of ranges, so it really goes across the color spectrum, but then like her foundations aren't great, and when she first launched it was rubbish, but then like her bronzer, she does a really nice deep bronzer. Sure, she could go darker, but she does a lot better, and she goes really fair in her bronzer, which is so much better than some other brands, but then her foundation comes out and it's not the most extensive range. Normally it's the reverse. Normally you find brands come out and they're like 50 shades, this, and then they've got like NARS, and then they've got like four bronzers in the range. They don't go dark enough, and you're just like, eh.
Yeah, it is interesting. I do think that when it comes to lips and stuff like that, though, the colours are all there. It's just about how you, and with lips, I wonder whether the pig, the colour, I don't know anything about formulations, but I wonder whether the pigments going into a lipstick don't alter the formulation of a lipstick too much. So it's like you can keep the same, you know, semi sheer, you know, balmy lipstick no matter what pigments you put in it, but when you start playing with foundations you're putting in lots of whites to like lighten the colors and then taking them away to darken the colors, which would, I imagine, the chalkiness of a white pigment impact the consistency of a foundation, so maybe it is harder. I don't know.
Yeah, it's just an interesting situation.
It is. Next up in beauty news, this happened a few weeks ago now, but Lush is PR stunting us again by leaving social media. So in 2019, Lush left because they were tired of fighting against the algorithms.
Mm-hmm.
And they took it as a stance and they said, we're done with this place. It's not helpful for us. We don't want to spend money to be like all of the other people. We're just going to tap out. It'll be better if we're not here. I don't know how long it lasted, but they were back very shortly afterwards.
Mm-hmm.
And so then people were like, oh, good PR stunt, Lush, whatever. Now they are leaving the platform, they are saying, because they don't feel that the platforms create a safe environment for their users. So they're kind of aligning it with their brand messaging of, we only incorporate safe to use products for your skin. And Instagram and Facebook have come out and pretty much acknowledged from those reports that came out a while ago that the platforms are damaging to users' mental health.
Mm-hmm.
And so Lush have said for that reason they don't stand for existing on those platforms and therefore they're leaving.
It's just interesting they don't take a stand on the fact that their bath bombs are not good for my vaginal health.
You should write to them about that. So they are protesting on Facebook, Instagram, TikTok and Snapchat. However, they're keeping their existence on Twitter and YouTube, which to me defeats the whole purpose, because for Twitter it's like that's just as damaging for people's mental health as every other platform just because they haven't done a report on it. Anyway, the co-founder of Lush said, I've spent all my life avoiding putting harmful ingredients in my products. There is now overwhelming evidence that we are being put at risk when using social media, and I'm not willing to expose my customers to this harm. It's time we take it out of the mix.
Okay.
Yeah. I don't know. Do you reckon that Mark Constantine's taken himself off social media? Let's have a look.
Who's that?
The co-founder who said that quote. Well, he's still on social media. Mark Constantine, maybe you should practice what you preach.
Yeah, how disingenuous.
Dickhead. You can email him, mark@lush.com. It's on his Instagram profile.
Oh my God, I haven't seen this news.
What?
Grow 2 in DJs?
How did you miss this?
I don't know.
As of today, did you not see the gorgeous photo shoot that Zoe Foster Blake's done with DJs?
Oh, well, is that where she's in the yellow with the purple shoes?
Yeah.
Stunning. I only looked at the photo and I didn't read the caption.
It's like, well, if you only looked at the caption, the first word is to do a festive shoot with David Jones. So fun. Double fun to do with my girl. And triple fun to do it with Grow 2 skincare products, which are now stocked at David Jones.
So she recently did a podcast, the Australian Birth Stories podcast.
Yeah.
But she was plugging her book. But it would have been very apt. They did talk about Grow 2, but she should have plugged then that Grow 2 was launching in DJs, because that would have been a double plug for her book and also Grow 2 launching in DJs on
maybe
that pod.
Maybe it was under embargo.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, good for her. I don't really have anything else to say. I do think it is interesting because obviously she couldn't take Go 2 into David Jones because it's got exclusivity with Mecca. And I find it curious that Mecca didn't secure Grow 2 as well.
Yeah. When they did get Grow 2, it does feel like they are the same. Obviously, they're the same company, but...
But also I feel it makes more sense for... Well, it doesn't. But I guess there's not a lot of kids' products in Mecca at the moment.
But doesn't that make more sense?
Yes,
I mean, Shantikai did the baby line, and baby care was... We were talked about it back when Loz was on the podcast, I think, that it was really coming into fashion. I could see Grow 2 launching as an online exclusive at Mecca.
Yeah, or I was thinking, why did they not bring out the gift sets with the kids' things for Christmas at Mecca, even if they launched them online?
Interesting.
I don't know how to feel about it. I mean, I'm happy for David Jones. They've got a good lineup. They stock Liberty Bell. So it's great that they're, you know, holding firm in the beauty space. But
yeah, I would say...
I wouldn't call them a destination.
No, but I would say that DJs is absolutely taking a shit in Maya's mouth in terms of...
Oh, it has been for years.
Yeah. Yeah.
Except that they downsized Eastland to the size of an anthill. Oh. And I want Lux DJs back. I want Homewares DJs back at Eastland.
That protest. Sucks.
Next up in beauty news, Sol de Janeiro has sold a portion of their company to... They've sold the majority stake to L'Occitane, which I thought was curious because those brands don't seem to align at all in my head. But then I remember that L'Occitane is an umbrella company, so they're allowed to have other brands. And they do already have Elemis and Arborian under their label, which I did not know. So they acquired 83% of Sol de Janeiro this week at a valuation of a cool $450 million.
Wow.
They plan to build a strong portfolio of brands in all major geographic regions, they have said.
Okay, so they're going for the around-the-globe approach.
Yes, the inclusivity approach. They've said that Sol de Janeiro complements L'Occitane's premium brand image, which I guess the price point.
Yeah, I would not classify them as premium. Prestige at best.
Yes, and Hila Yang, the CEO and co-founder of Sol de Janeiro, said, "It has been my dream to reach all corners of the globe with the warmth and joy of the brand and exceptional iconic products. I have always admired L'Occitane and its beautiful lifestyle brands anchored in their deep commitment to sustainability. We are thrilled to have found a home within the group to continue to drive our explosive growth." Sustainability. Do you reckon that'll be meaning some things for Sol de Janeiro? Because they're not a particularly sustainable brand at the moment.
They're not, are they? Yeah, interesting.
Guess watch this space.
Yeah.
Next up in beauty news, Delta Goodrum has been announced as the very first ever Revlon Australia New Zealand brand ambassador.
Hmm.
What I felt to be most interesting about this news is that, yes, Delta Goodrum is a beautiful white woman, and that's the end of that.
Yes. Yeah.
They said the general manager, her quote was, "Revlon was founded with the mission to create a more liberated beauty, one that embodies action, independence, inspiration, and purpose. For us, Delta Goodrum is the essence of that sentiment. She's always been a trailblazer and a woman who understands the beauty of knowing her own voice." Take out that last four words, the beauty of knowing her own voice. They could have picked any other woman.
Yeah.
They could have picked a million better women,
hmm.
I think. I understand that Delta Goodrum is, like, quite iconically an Australian person.
She's an Aussie battler.
Yes. And she's probably the right demographic in that she, like, she appeals to women young slightly old. Older.
Yeah.
And women slightly younger, maybe less so.
Mm.
But I don't think that Revlon is trying necessarily to appeal to the under 25s.
Mm. Best hope they're not.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I just feel, like, deflated by the news. Like, happy for Delta Goodrum, good on her, but
it does really show where Revlon is sitting in the market, though, right? Like, there's obviously, we can't get angry at people for being tokenistic and then also get angry at them for picking a white woman for their campaign. That's not it. But it's just like,
she's also the Australian New Zealand ambassador, though.
They may as well have picked Jennifer Hawkins.
Yep.
They may as well have picked Kylie Minogue. It's just like a bit outdone. You know?
100% it is.
Yeah. And that's it, because that's still probably who the 50-year-old white woman buying their makeup at the counter
wants to look like. Yeah, agreed. I just think also Delta Goodrum is irrelevant, other than when she does the voice.
She's everywhere. She was at...
But why? Because she's a pretty white woman. She's not doing anything.
She is lovely, but you're right. She's like, what's she doing?
Nothing. Yep. I don't know. It kind of like got my goat as a new brand ambassador.
Yeah.
Don't know. Live boldly is their slogan. I just don't think that Delta Goodrum's living that boldly.
No, she's literally as vanilla as it comes.
Yeah.
Lastly, MAC have released their Viva Glam range. An interesting one. It is a collaboration with Keith Haring, who is a very famous New York City like street artist. Mm-hmm. I kept confusing him for the guy who does the Mambo art, but it's not the guy that does the Mambo art. That is an Australian guy, but they look the exact same.
The art looks the same?
Yep.
Wow.
The exact same.
Okay.
Artists are turning in their graves, but whatever. The interesting thing is the lipsticks are based around his signature primary color palette. So it's like black and white with pops of red, yellow, and blue.
Uh-huh.
The lipsticks are red, yellow, and blue.
Oh, I was going to ask, is the packaging that? But no, it's the actual lipsticks. Yellow.
Red, yellow, and blue. But
wow,
if you're a makeup artist,
good for mixing.
Buying those three
means
and a black and a white means you can create any color that you need. So if you were just to depot them in a little five pan, kind of awesome.
Yeah, I mean it depends on like the pigment and the finish of the lipsticks and how you intend to use them. But great.
I mean, they look like they're the typical cream sheen situation, like creamy matte. Mm. So you could set them with a powder or gloss them up. Like, I think this has to do with the true artist in mind. Someone who's going to know who that artist is. Someone that does beautiful artistic makeup is going to be excited by that.
Mm.
Also, I think it's clever in that they've done a red. So there's still something that is super wearable for the masses. And then some people are going to wear the yellow and blue.
Yeah. It's nice to see MAC moving back into more artistry-led makeup.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm happy with that. I'm a little bit tired of the
Nicki Minaj's of the world.
Correct. The celebrity partnerships that are bringing out the same thing in different packaging.
Agree.
Cool.
Dang.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
These products are so good. What's the deal?
What's your beauty fave this week?
Well, my beauty fave this week is something that we're talking about on Wednesday. So I can't talk about it now.
Great. That makes for a fantastic episode. Thank you so much.
My second beauty fave, however, that had to come in as a runner-up, may shock the pants off you. Hold on to your waistband. It's the ultraviolet new tinted sunscreen.
Wow, that was quick. And also, wow, you're pretending to be much more olive than you are.
Okay, look at it on my face right now.
It's fine.
It's fine.
Mm-hmm.
Shook to my core.
You should have bought that for me so I could try it.
Sorry. I love it too much. You can't have it for now. But maybe soon. Can I talk about why I love it?
I mean, I think you have to, but the people requested a product trial, but maybe we just don't and they can go off this.
Oh, stressed for you guys. The packaging, love. It's squishier than the Glossier packaging with the same like kind of dropper on top, so you can actually squeeze out more product than you want.
As squishy as a MAC Face and Body?
No, because it's softer feeling than a MAC Face and Body. MAC Face and Body feels plasticky. This one feels like squidgy.
As squishy as my squishy thing that I keep the oil in for my stove?
Almost as squishy, not quite as soft.
Interesting.
And also it's got that soft matte like finish on the packaging, so it's lovely. The coverage is exactly my perfect coverage level. It's not too sheer, it's not too full coverage, and it's buildable. But it's the perfect light, can build to a light medium. A chef's kiss. The finish, beautiful. Would say medium satin finish. If you put your moisturizers and your skin prep underneath, leans dewy easily. I'm sure you could powder it for more longevity. However, being a skin tint, I don't think that will last you like a rave. You're not going to go to Revs in this and come out looking all right, I don't think.
It would be the best option to wear to Revs just to give you the maximum sun protection when the sun rises as you leave. Just to make sure there might be something clinging on.
Yeah.
And you could reapply throughout the night.
Yes, you could. And I think that's all I have to say about it. The colour was surprisingly good. I got V5. If you saw on the stories, I thought it was going to be extraordinarily olive. Joke's on me. It's totally fine.
I think it's probably sheer enough that like your skin tone can show through it. But I do also think for any olive gals out there,
it will
it's
be good.
A good shade to go for.
Completely agree.
Yeah.
The only reason I even tried it, I wasn't even going to bother, is because Hannah messaged me and said, or messaged us on the pod, said that was the color that they matched her to when she was fake tanned when she did the trial with them. Which so interesting. I wasn't expecting that at all. And they went, oh, if Hannah can wear it, I can wear it. So turns out I can.
Winner.
Yep. It's a goodie. It's a goodie. It's a good one.
I want to try.
I'll guarantee you to try. What's your beauty fave this week?
My beauty fave this week is the Nude Sticks Nudies Matte All Over Face Blush Colour in Nude Peach.
Nice.
I didn't buy Nude Peach because given that it's called Nude Peach.
What do you mean you didn't buy it?
For a while.
Oh.
I didn't buy it for a while. Given it's called Nude Peach, I was like, eh. Because I own...
We don't own any of the matte ones so far, do we?
I do.
Oh.
Well, I bought quite a large number recently. But I did own Sweet Peach Peony, which is dewy.
That's not a matte. Yeah, yeah.
But Salty Siren is matte.
Oh, you own Salty Siren?
Yeah, I do.
The Estée Lalonde one?
Yeah.
When did you buy that?
I've had it for ages. Now, I have swatched all three of these on my hands, and showing Alex, I was like, I don't need to own all three of these, do I? In fact, I would say I don't need to own all two of them if I was to get rid of one.
Well, no, I disagree. This one and Sweet Peach Peony are completely different.
That's right. For those listening who might be thinking about what they want, Sweet Peach Peony is the dewy color. It stays tacky on your face.
Yes.
Sometimes it can go a little blotchy on me if I'm having that like dehydrated skin time. But then also sometimes I need that literal dew on the top of my cheeks versus something that's more satin. I like Sweet Peach Peony for if I've got like no base on and I'm just wanting to like chuck things on because then it doesn't grab or move any powder bronzers or anything and it gives me a beautiful glow. Whereas if I was to pop Salty Siren or Nude Peach on my cheeks without any makeup on, I'd look a bit dull and flat, I think.
Mm-hmm.
So there is a place for the dewy ones. The matte ones, I can be sure that for most skin types would probably work better because as I've been putting my hand around the room as I've got these swatched on the back, the glossy one is like printing on my thigh and stuff, whereas the other ones are just, they're satin. They're definitely not down to full powder, but they're not transferring like crazy on other people's shirts and other people's faces as you kiss and hug them and whatnot. So that's important to keep in mind in terms of formula. I would say that, interestingly, the swatches, etc. of, and the colours on the packaging of Sweet Peach Peony and Salty Siren look like they're going to be peachier than Nude Peach, but Nude Peach has the most orange of the three.
I was going to say when it blends out, it's very almost like a coral.
A coral. It's got pink, but as you blend it out, you see more of the orange. When I look at Sweet Peach Peony swatched on my hand, if it wasn't called peach, if it was called like pink rose or something like that, I probably wouldn't have bought it because it is a cooler pink than what you might think. It's sort of a neutral pink, but there's definitely like a bluey tone to it. And then Salty Siren is very similar to
Nude Peach.
It sort of sits in between Sweet Peach Peony and Nude Peach.
Personally, I do think you need all of them.
Yeah, I think, I'm not going to be sad about owning all of them. I am really excited though to have that bit more peach in a blush because if you look at the powder blushes I use, they're always really strong peach colors. And sometimes the Sweet Peach Peony, when I use it when I'm like tanned, it's just a bit bluey looking. I like that this has a bit more orange. I also bought Tiger Lily something.
Yeah.
And that looks really orange. Queen? Yeah. That I'm excited to try. I haven't tried it yet. It's really orange and I am getting a spray tan for my hands next week.
Exciting.
So I think that's going to be the time when like Salty Siren and Sweet Peach Peony don't cut it for me anymore and I need that more rich color because the Tiger Lily one's like a true orange color. I think it would suit more deeper skin tones as well because it's just, it's not diluted as much. It's like more of a pure pigment.
I'm excited.
So there is my very long-winded rundown of colors that you can't see of peach cream blushes. But look, it's a really important factor in my life.
You can put them on the stories.
Yeah.
On Monday. Can we briefly discuss the trauma of people when they used to come into Mecca and say, can you please help me find the perfect coral lipstick? And coral means something different to everyone. To some people, coral is a pink, and to some people, coral is an orange. And you first have to determine what kind of coral is in their mind, their stupid little mind.
Coral is the vaguest color descriptor ever because to a lot of people, coral is MAC Lady Danger.
Yeah.
It is a bright orange.
Yeah,
that's like the coral reef. Coral.
Yep.
To me, a coral is something that is
pinky orange.
It's like 60% orange, 40% pink.
Yeah.
And to me, a peach is like 50-50. Like coral is a slightly more orange version of peach.
Yes. To me. Yeah, I agree.
So I was always way off with what I was showing them because it's never what they wanted.
Never. And then you put a coral on someone's mouth and then they determine that they need something more pink or more orange, depending on their skin tone.
Yeah.
And then the rabbit hole continues. And then 2.5 hours later, you've swatched every orange or peach toned lipstick on your arm, their mouth.
Yep. And they buy like Nars Sex Machine or MAC Velvet Teddy. And you're like, perfect. So you wanted pink. Pinky brown.
You wanted Nude Peach. Have a
beautiful day. Join up for the beauty loot.
Actually, it's not a helmet. It's a hairmet. It has extra room so you don't mess up your hairdo.
What's your non-beauty fave this week?
My non-beauty fave is my HK Living crockery.
Of course it is.
I may have gone slightly psychotic and realized that I had very close to, but not quite enough plates to have a perfect amount of mismatched but matching vibey crockery to have 12 people over for Friendsgiving.
Yep.
And so in the middle of me like basting my turkey and cooking stuffing and making an apple tart, I just quickly popped to the Bentley warehouse where the HK Living girls, so HK Living is the brand, but House of Orange is the retailer that stocks it in Australia. House of Orange has the most incredible customer service ever. They've got great delivery. The delivery is always really quick. The customer service is so lovely. I was in store. I said to them, oh, I ordered some stuff that's on pre-order. It said delivery in November. I've got a thing on the 30th of November. Do you reckon they'll be in? And they're like, oh my God, they're literally arriving in our warehouse like Wednesday or Thursday. Well, when do you need them by? Friday. We'll call you when they're in. You can go and collect them directly from the warehouse. We'll make them pack it for you first thing as soon as they arrive. They called me. They told me it's going to be ready at 12 o'clock on Friday. It was sitting there at the warehouse for me to go. Perfect. I picked it up. It was a Friendsgiving miracle. I lay the plate with all of my knickknacks. No one gave a shit, but I felt great about it.
Alex cared.
I love them. So the style of crockery that I'm obsessed with from them is the 70s ceramics range. And they're just beautiful, colorful, but like neutral, fun plates and side plates and
they're also
plates.
Good because they're all different tones, but they all go well together.
Yes, you can buy like totally different things. And then also, I've been obsessed with my mum's crockery that she got gifted for her wedding. She's got this really large set of like green, mottled kind of patterned. She's got gravy jugs, plates, bowls, everything.
The whole thing.
And I've been obsessed with it. And so I borrowed some off her and it went so well. And I was like, oh my God, it's because they're genuinely 70s ceramics with 70s ceramics. Anyway, I love them. They're beautiful. And people do compliment them when they're eating off them. They're like, oh, and everyone was like, oh, that's my favorite. No, that's my favorite colorway. You know, it's a bit of a talking piece, like the face vessels.
Yeah.
Love them.
Love them for you.
What's your non-beauty fave?
I have a non-beauty fave. I have an anti-non-beauty fave.
Oh, no.
Which is Selling Sunset season 4.
Yep.
I'm using this as my airwave time.
Mm-hmm. Soapbox.
To tell everyone, do not watch season 4 of Selling Sunset. It was a drag. I think they showed 3 houses.
Yeah.
The whole season.
They shot in the houses, but they didn't do the sweeping estimates how much it sold for.
No,
how many
they
bedrooms.
Didn't do literally any of that. There was no like trying to find the right buyer, walking people through the house, no like eclectic people that they did a showing for.
I was like, I have French Montana's house. Oh, this is French. Yeah.
But also we didn't even get to see the house really.
Yeah,
like
I know.
There was like you said, 2 montages maybe the whole season.
2 French montages.
And I can't.
You can't recover.
I can't not laugh at that because then there's a gap of awkwardness and people think that I snubbed you and thought you weren't funny, but really I was pulling a stupid face. You can't say that. it was shit and it was all about Christine and like the rhetoric is tired now. I don't care about whether or not people like Christine. I don't care about whether or not she's changed. It's too much acting now and not enough housing.
I am into the conspiracy that she never had the baby, that it was a surrogate. And that things are filmed out of order. And in some scenes, she's like supposedly pregnant, but she's not pregnant. And she's like wearing a fake belly.
What?
Like she got her body back straight after. So I'm really into that conspiracy.
She did get her body back straight away. But she also said, she had a C-section, first of all. Guaranteed she probably had the plastic surgeon in there with the friggin' obstetrician. And if she didn't, she probably got lipo. She said she would. She probably did. How quickly can you get lipo after you've had a C-section? Who knows?
Probably not very quickly, but unless, I don't know.
Unless you've got millions of dollars, which she does.
I know, but it sounds so traumatic. But even then, if she'd had lipo, she'd still have bruising. I don't know, whatever. Go down the Reddit thread. It's quite funny. I agree. I just want to see the houses, please.
Yes. Yeah. Anyway, so I'm genuinely mad about it. I've watched every episode in Adrian and was like, why are you still watching this trash? I was like, I know it's trash. I'm waiting for it to get better. And then I got to episode 9 and I was like, it's actually not getting any better. And then I gave up at the start of episode 10. I thought, I'm actually not interested anymore.
Wild.
Yeah.
Just took it to my veins!
What's your snack?
My snack is Thanksgiving related. It is Abby's pumpkin pie.
Oh, how yum was that? I've never had a pumpkin pie before.
Me either. Why would you? So it had a graham cracker crust and spicy, but not to the point that gives you a hot reflux, like a spiced pumpkin filling. Oh my God. It was so good.
It was really good.
Cream and ice cream. Ugh.
Yum.
I ate it for days after.
Adrian liked your apple pie.
Oh, thank you. God. Do you know what? Don't recommend making like an all butter, your own pastry pie thing for the first time for 12 people while you're also making 7 other sides. Mm-hmm. But look, it came through.
It did come through. The taste was there.
What's your snack of the week?
My snack this week, it's pickled things. Pickled things that I've been topping on everything.
Mm.
I'm going to do a double whammy. It's the Keep It Cleaner kimchi.
Yeah.
I'm eating it on everything. Mm. And my gut is like, I love you. But my butthole is like, calm down.
Yeah.
The spice has gone on for days. And my other snack, I have been eating as a snack, is pickled daikon slices,
mm.
which you can buy from Asian grocery stores,
mm-hmm.
pre-pickled in like a tub. They're the best to put in with a bibimbap, which is not surprising to hear, but I like that they're sliced in the rounds. So it's like a sheet. Like you can put the rice and the kimchi and the other things from the bibimbap on a little daikon pickled patty and eat it like a parcel.
Okay. So it's almost like a tiny pancake or like a tiny wonton wrapper.
It's exactly what it's like.
Interesting. Yes. See, the thing with pickled daikon is I really like it, but I need it cut in multiple ways, which is the same way I feel about like burger pickles, because sometimes you need the pickles whole, sometimes you need them sliced like bread and butter pickles, and sometimes you want to slice them long ways.
I agree.
Because pickled daikon in a sushi, great, but you want it like chunks. Matchstick, like a fat matchstick.
Yeah.
But agree, sometimes you want circles and sometimes you want cubes.
Yes.
Ugh, exhausting.
I know. So is it blessing in disguise that I didn't have to buy a 3-kilo daikon like you did and slice it up and pickle it myself because I could buy it from the Asian grocery store.
Mm.
I will say the only bad thing about it is that, oh my golly goodness, when you open the container, the house smells like farts instantly. And you don't smell it when you're embodying it. No. When you're standing there going, yummy, yummy, can't wait to eat this. And you leave the house and you come back in and you're like, atomic bomb has been dropped.
That was what Brenton kept complaining about when I made the like 7 jars of pickled daikon. He was like, it smells like arse in here.
It's extraordinarily stinky. And the pickle juice like brings it out.
Yeah, it's like brining the fart.
It is.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah. Yummy.
But stank.
But stanky.
Yeah.
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 I think that's it for this week's episode.
Everyone's like, can I go back to that Christmas shit that was actually helpful and slightly on topic?
You guys have talked about too much, but thanks for listening to this episode.
We will see you for every day for the rest of this week on the stories, announcing our winners.
Yes, we will.
We'll also see you on Wednesday with a mini episode, a review of
the Kosas deodorant.
Jinx.
Personal jinx.
And we will then see you next week for another episode, because that's how this podcast works.
Every week we do episodes. You know what?
One day it's going to stop because we're going to take a little holiday break and it's going to be really nice.
Yeah. Heads up.
Yeah.
Stop listening now if you want content in January because we're going on hiatus because Lisa's getting married.
We don't know how long it's going to be.
We don't know.
We don't know. We've got to work out the logistics because like generally we take a break and we'd come back maybe late January, but late January is when I'm getting married and then I'll be on a honeymoon until my birthday in the middle of Feb. So it's like a whole pre-recording.
And then she'll be having her birthday.
Nah. B-Day's dead.
Yeah, you're going to have no birthday this year.
That's fine.
Thank goodness. I thought it was your 30th. No. You're only 29.
I'm a fountain of youth. So, yes, we will figure something out. We won't leave you with blue balls for too long, but...
Long enough.
Just long enough to keep you thirsty.
All right. On that note, catch you on Wednesday.
Bye.
Bye.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
It's the question that's on everyone's mind. How do you live a good life? Is it about work, health, or relationships? What about happiness, meaning, and money? What really matters? And how can you dramatically improve all of these things? These are the questions we explore every week on the top-ranked podcast, Good Life Project, hosted by award-winning author and perpetual seeker, Jonathan Fields, which also happens to be me. Every week, I sit down with world-renowned researchers, experts, and scions of art and industry on the Good Life Project podcast. This week, in fact, we're sharing a fantastic conversation with the author, Elizabeth Gilbert, about a single practice that changed her life. Listen to the Good Life Project podcast wherever you get your podcasts. Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.